Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back. It's so good to have your company on this Tuesday morning. Now, we are about to do the most important thing on this show, and that is that we pray together. And we're praying for you. If you're listening to this, wherever you're listening, in your car, at home, walking down the street, we're listening to you, or you're listening to us, and we're praying for you. That's what this is all about. And we very much enjoy doing this. We really want to pray for you. Now, there's two ways we can do it. We can do it like this, and we're just praying for you, and that's fine. Or if you've got a particular intention, we would be delighted to pray specifically for it. And there's two ways you can access the show. You can call us on 888-928-0881. Or you can text in on 251-928-2111. And you can be anonymous. You can just call the switchboard, leave your message and head off, or you could text me, say it's anonymous. That's okay. We don't need to read everybody's names out. We don't even need to read out some of the specifics of what's being prayed for. But we know it, God knows it, and you know it, and we're delighted to pray for you. Now, each day in this little radio mission, I am accompanied by prayer warriors, people who give up their time, come into the studio often or down the line, and they pray with me. So let's find out today. Who is our prayer warrior?
In the studio today, Kevin, we have Jennifer Albritton and her son, Harris.
Jennifer, welcome back. And Harris as well. This is amazing.
Glad to be here, Kevin. How are you doing this morning?
Now, Jennifer, the last time you were here, you had another son with you.
I did. Davis is, my oldest Davis is actually at St. Michael football camp this week. There was a program with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and there's probably about 35 boys and a handful of coaches that are incorporating faith, adoration, as well as football skills and family. It's been really humbling to watch and to listen to these kids come home and discuss all of it.
It sounds absolutely incredible.
They do. They start every morning with Mass. They have breaks for adoration, the rosary, and they've got some really, really great role models out there guiding these boys.
And what's the sports they do then?
They're doing football right now, but I do believe it's football and baseball that they focus on.
Well, you tell them that I'm willing to come to it, and I'm willing to do all the praying and all the adoring and going to Mass and saying my prayers, getting the rosary out. But as for the football, forget it.
I understand. It is hot out there.
At my age, I would be straight into the emergency ward. I really would.
Well, they do have a personal trainer on board that's there all day, Kevin. So if you wanted to try your skills, they would have you covered.
My skills, like certain other attributes, have long since disappeared in the rear view, Jennifer. So, I will leave it to Davis, and that's really good. So, Davis, if you're listening to this on playback, we are so proud of you and happy that you're doing this. And we look forward to you coming back on the show and telling us all about it. It sounds like a wonderful initiative combining faith and football. And no doubt some wonderful Alabama food as well. But still, we have Harris with us. Good morning to you, Harris.
You too.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Are you on holiday at the moment? Are you away from school?
Yes, sir.
So it's a time of helping your mom, doing lots of chores around the house, helping people in the neighborhood, that sort of thing, right?
Yes, sir.
Sounds too good to be true, Jennifer.
I know. He actually started piano last week, and so we're doing that once a week. And it's something that he's been very interested in for quite some time. So we've been really excited about him having the opportunity to do that.
So, Harris, talk to me about the piano. When did you first decide that that might be your instrument?
Well, my dad bought me a piano.
And you just started playing it?
Mm-hmm.
And you found that your fingers and the keys kind of melded into one? Is that how it works?
Yes, sir. It did.
It's wonderful. So what is it going to be next week? Chopin's Nocturnes for us on the show?
Yes.
Mozart.
We're going to hold you to that, Jennifer. You bring him in next week. We'll play Chopin. That's
absolutely
great.
Next time we'll do the introduction music, the fanfare. He can play it for us.
That's right. Do fanfares.
That's right. Now, I have been suitably corrected on air. I've had a message saying that you don't use the word holidays in Alabama. You use the word vacation. So apologies, Harris, if I confused you by talking about holidays. But it's a British translation of the word vacation.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you got it, though. You're a bright young man. So, Jennifer, it's great to have you and Harris back on the show, and I am absolutely certain that you have brought lots of intentions with you this morning.
I sure have.
Now, I don't know if you were listening yesterday, but we had a whole saddlebag full of intentions from lots and lots of listeners, and it was great. It's what we love. So if you're listening to this, you've got Jennifer, you've got Harris, and you got me, right?
Yes,
okay, you got me as well. But you got Harris and you got Jennifer on the job. So now's your moment. Whatever the intention you need praying for this morning, it can be something really big, something really dramatic. We've got a number of people that are going to be in hospital this morning. We're going to pray for them again. But it could also be just giving thanks for your mother, for your father, for your daughter, for your son, for your grandmother, for the fact you're on vacation, for the fact you're at the football camp. Whatever it is, we'll pray for you this morning. So do feel free to text me on 251-928-2111 or call in. Speak to Harris on 888-928-0881. You don't mind taking the calls, Harris, do you?
I'm good with that.
You are, I can tell. Listen, Jennifer, I think we've got a budding radio star here. I better be quiet. He might get too good and then I'll be off the air.
You might lose your job.
Exactly.
Or at least have a good fill-in if you're sick.
It's a good job you have to go back to school, Harris. Otherwise, I'd be really worried. Okay, so shall we begin?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And both of you are fully armed and loaded this morning?
We are fully armed and loaded this morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, listen, Harris, let's take the safety catch off, as we say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Okay, Jennifer, let's come to you for this first decade. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I have two schoolmates, and I don't think they'd mind me mentioning their names on air. An old friend, Heather Lawson, that she just finished her second battle with metastatic breast cancer. So I'd like to give this intention to her. And we have another classmate, Catherine Garner, who is just starting her fight with breast cancer. So I'd like to offer up my prayers and intentions for them today.
Okay, well, let's pray for Heather and Catherine. Let them know that they are being prayed for, that they are in the process of battling this cancer, and that if they need prayers, we're here. We're here 5 days a week live on air, and we'd be delighted to pray for Heather and Catherine on a regular basis and to accompany them through this treatment. And we'd also like to pray, Jennifer, I'm sure you won't mind, for a miracle. We pray that Heather and Catherine will be given the grace of a restoration of their health. This cancer will be washed away in the blood of Jesus, the precious blood. And they will then become great apostles for the love of our Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Harris. Okay, so for this second decade, if you don't mind, Harris, I'm going to take you in a moment because we've got a rather urgent one that we need to pray for this morning. Karen texted the show yesterday. Good morning to you, Karen. And at this time, around about this time, she's attending a doctor and she's going to get back some test results, and it's about cancer as well. And it's all about the blood works. And this is the month of the precious blood. And as with Heather and Catherine, Karen, you too, we want to pray for this morning. We want to pray that this cancer is washed away in the blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of our Lord, that somehow you will be renewed and that the information and the results that you get from your medical practitioner this morning will all be good. And you'll maybe let us know in due course that everything went well. So I'd like to pray very much for Karen this morning. And I'd also like to pray for our dear friend Shannon's father, Charles. Charles had surgery yesterday on a brain tumor. And his surgery was just as we were praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And Shannon, if you're listening, we'd love to know that all went well and that Charles is recovering well and that the medical operation went as well as we can expect. And we also pray for you, Shannon, and your family at this very worrying time. So we lift up Charles and we lift up Karen and we lift up all those that know them and love them and care about them as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Harris, and thank you, Jennifer. I just had a note through saying that Charles, Shannon's father, is now in the ICU and they're waiting for the report from the surgeon. So I'm so glad we were able to pray just at this moment for Charles and for the doctors who will be looking after him. I don't know about you, Harris, but these sort of things, they're very pressing, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Now, for a young man like you at the start of life, what could we pray for, or who could we pray for that's on your mind?
My mom's friend, Mr. Jim. He's been having problems with his eye.
Yeah.
And it's actually cancer there too.
Right. And do you know Mr. Jim Harris well? Is he a friend of yours as well?
Mm-hmm. He is.
Yeah. It must be very difficult for him, cancer in the eye. Is he losing his sight?
He's got it on his eyelid, so right. it is impeding his sight, and he's going through chemo again. He's been back and forth with doctors, and you know, they've just been working on the eyelid. They've taken a little bit of it, and just, you know, he does have issues with it, you know, sensitivity, you know, pain, but he still is at 83 able to get around.
That's wonderful. Well, Harris, let him know he's been prayed for. Let him know that he's been prayed for this morning. And we're praying that, you know, the Gospels are full of incidents where our Lord, you know, cures people's eye problems of one sort or another, cures the blind, but also lets people see clearly. So let's offer Mr. Jim to the divine mercy, to ask our Lord, if it be his will, to heal Mr. Jim at this time and give him back his sight so he can see clearly how much God loves him.
Amen.
Is there anybody else, Harris?
I'm going to pray for two more people, my brother Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to pray for my grandma.
Anything in particular about Davis? I know he's having a wonderful time, and we pray for him and everybody at the football camp, and we pray that that'll be a blessed moment for everybody concerned. Is there anything else, Davis, that you'd just like to offer up and ask the Lord to particularly help him with this time?
I don't really know. I just want to pray for my brother.
That's good enough. Maybe pray that you'll grow together in the Lord. The two of you will become very good little apostles. There's lots of history, you know, of brothers being sent out as apostles together and converting people and helping each other, and saints running in families. So we pray for you, Harris, and also for Davis, that you will grow in the Lord together and rejoice in that. Make you better brothers, make it closer as well. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely pray for Davis and pray that he's having a wonderful time at his football camp. And you said there was somebody else?
My grandma. Mm-hmm. She's had a loss for about 2 years now.
Had a what, baby?
A loss. Not grandpa dying. Grandpa dying 4 years ago. About 4 years ago, she lost her husband with cancer. I'm pretty sure stage four.
Right.
We just couldn't cure it.
Yeah. So we'll pray for the repose of the soul of your grandpa, but also do you just want to pray that for your grandma, that she's comforted by the Lord at this time and helped today and whatever her needs are?
Yes.
Let's do that. Let's lift up your grandma to the Lord. May I have your grandma's Christian name?
Barbara.
Barbara, lovely. That's a beautiful name. Barbara was a wonderful martyr of the faith in Roman times. So we lift up Barbara today and we give thanks for Barbara's witness down through these years, and we invoke the Holy Spirit to come upon her. The Holy Spirit, Harris, is one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, is the Great Comforter, and we should ask the Holy Spirit to comfort people more. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to particularly comfort Barbara today and really make her know that she is a very much loved child of God, and we ask the divine mercy to be very present in her life. And of course we'll pray for Davis, and we'll pray for Mr. Jim's eye trouble today, and we ask that he be given the grace to see more clearly through the intercession of this Divine Mercy chaplain. Is that it, David, Harris?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's great. Thank you so much. Let's say together then. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
and atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much, Harris and Jennifer. Now, for this fourth decade, I'm just going to take a number of requests that have come in. First of all, I'd like to pray for Ellen Taylor, who is the station manager here at Archangel Radio. And Ellen buried her father, Mr. Charles Taylor, on Tuesday, I think, of this week, or was it Monday? Monday of this week. And we pray for Ellen and pray for the repose of the soul of Mr. Taylor as well. Louise, good morning to you. You texted us about a number of young people that have serious health problems, Baxter and Lily, and we remember them again today, especially Baxter with this tumor on her lip. We pray for that. And we've been praying for Antonio. Antonio has six children and has a brain tumor and is asking us to pray for a miracle. And Antonio, we are very happy to pray for a miracle. I've seen a photograph of Antonio's six beautiful children and his very beautiful wife. And he is a man who seems to have everything in the photograph. And now he is facing this brain tumor situation. So Antonio, we pray for you. We pray for a miracle. And we pray for your family and all the struggles and difficulties that they're going through at this moment. And we ask the Lord to be merciful to you at this time. And I'd also like to pray for an anonymous mother who has texted the show a number of times. She's very worried about her youngest son, something you wouldn't know anything about, Jennifer. No, all mothers are worried about their sons at some point. But this mother is particularly worried about her son and a little bit of friction in the family. So let's pray for that. It's anonymous. We'll keep it anonymous, but we'll just pray that the Holy Spirit will come into that situation, smooth out all those creases, which are very normal for teenage boys, and pray that the Holy Spirit will guide him and bring a spirit of peace. Our Lord is the Prince of Peace, and we ask him to dwell very much in that family. And then one final intention, which came in about 2 weeks ago, it was Tanya who died, and we asked for the repose of her soul as well. And she left two young girls. Well, a young girl of 11, Silma, and another one of 24, Mia, and Mia is looking after Silma. And I remember when that information came through, it really touched my heart that this young woman who was going out into the world suddenly had to become a de facto mother. So we pray for those children who don't have a mother at this time. And we ask that our mother Mary, really look after them at this time. Okay, I think, Harris, that's enough for this decade. What do you reckon? Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Harris and Jennifer. Okay, we've come to the fifth and final decade. So I'm going to come back to you, Harris, and then Jennifer, you're going to have the last word. But before we do so, I'm just going to turn very quickly to Reed and say, Reed, do you have any intentions for this fifth and final decade?
Yes, Kevin. I would love to pray for anybody who feels that they are stuck in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also love to pray for my friend Melanie Stein.
Mm-hmm.
And that our summer for all of our volunteers at St. Patrick's goes well and everything, and that we will have a good RCIA class, like a sizable class, I mean, coming into the new year.
Wonderful. Okay, well, let's pray for all of that. We pray especially for Melanie at this time. And anybody who feels isolated, feels alone, we're here for you. You can always call in and talk to me. I'm very happy to do so. Or talk to Harris or Jennifer. We'd be delighted to hear from you. Okay, Harris, final decade. What's your final intention this morning?
Our friends, our families, and our teachers.
That's very good. That's excellent. So all your family, all your friends, and your teachers in particular. Who's your favorite teacher, Harris?
My second grade teacher, Mrs. Budarazi.
Well, we pray especially for her and whatever her needs are. She's probably having a very well-deserved rest at the moment, but we'll pray as well for her and pray she has a wonderful vacation and comes back full of the Holy Spirit in guiding and teaching you. Okay, thank you for that, Harris. Jennifer, last word to you. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
I have a very dear friend who is going through a really bad time with her daughter. Her daughter has cut her out of her life at this moment, and she is struggling to understand and to have patience and just to have that reconciliation that in her heart and soul she really wants with her daughter.
Okay. Well, we lift that woman up and we lift her daughter up and we pray for the gift of reconciliation. We pray that this Divine Mercy Chaplet will bring them together. The miracle of reconciliation will happen between mother and daughter. Okay. Let's say this final decade together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Jennifer, thank you so much for coming in. And Harris, I am so grateful for you giving up some of your vacation to come in and pray with me this morning.
You're welcome. We really didn't have anything else to do today.
Not quite sure how to take that. But listen, Harris, you're welcome back anytime. You know that, don't you?
I know that.
And he really was excited.
Well, listen, Jennifer, you're always welcome. You are always welcome with Davis, with Harris, with anybody else you want to bring. Bring the whole family. We'd be delighted to pray with you. Thank you again for coming here to Archangel Radio and praying for all these needs this morning.
Thank you, Kevin, for the opportunity. It means a lot.
Okay. Listen, have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
Now, when we come back, we're going to be speaking architecture. So we're going to be meeting a professor from the Catholic University of America who's going to tell us all about a new initiative to do with architecture and the faith. Stay tuned to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It really is good to have your company here this Tuesday morning. I don't know about you, but the last 30 minutes always is a tonic, a spiritual tonic, because we take people's problems and we put them through the grinder of our prayers and supplications and, at least we're trying to do something a bit different. But let's find out from our friend Reed here what he thought of the AI discussion. It's kind of up your street, I'd imagine, Reed. You're of that generation. They're quite used to these chatbot type things, right?
Well, I would actually say that it's extremely novel, even to younger people. It's really more of a thing that people who are really into computers are doing, more than just kind of like a younger thing. Like, I really don't know anybody who is currently using, you know, chat bots to reference any of their, you know, questions or papers or anything like that. I'm sure that it does go on all around the country at different colleges and things like that. But it's not really something that even crosses my mind, and I don't know really anybody so far that it does yet.
Absolutely, and I mean, maybe we make too much of this, you know, that somehow the AI is taking over. I know it makes for a good headline in the press, but as our friend Dave was saying, I mean, I don't know about you, Dave came across as a very sensible, very balanced individual who just saw the advantages of using a computer software program that somehow made knowledge more accessible to many, many people.
Certainly. I mean, the logical conclusion, like if everything is kept up to a moral standard, the logical conclusion is, I mean, it's just going to be a better version of the internet, at least for, you know, the foreseeable future. There's no telling, you know, all these people are like, oh, what if it develops a mind of its own and things like that? I mean, you know, I don't know if it's doing that already, but right now in its current capacity, it's basically just a better version of the internet.
That's right.
Already, you type into Google whatever subject you want to read about, and it brings it up for you. So now it's just going to actually bring you the exact paragraphs that you want to read rather than you having to go through them.
That's right. I mean, it just makes it in some ways more accessible. And I suppose we've got to also realize that there's a whole generation, even younger than you, Reed, that are growing up and they're not used to books. They're not used to paper copies of things. They're used to computer screens. They're very at ease with computer screens and typing in questions and getting answers automatically. I mean, I sound like I've come out of the ark when I can remember you had to troop along to a library And then you had to take a book out, and then you had to sit down, open the book and flick through it and maybe go to the index, try and find something and all the rest of it. So this is the new world we're in, and it's a lot easier to access information. And, you know, information in some ways is a lot of it's neutral. Of course, there's bad information, misleading information, or just downright evil information. But there's an awful lot of it which is just that. It's just ordinary, neutral information. Mm-hmm. Like having an encyclopedia in my day was the way that families used to access information. But the world has changed. And Wikipedia now, it makes that look completely different.
The danger is, of course, you know, we've seen it with Wikipedia or, you know, all kinds of different sites. Wikipedia can be edited by anybody. So, I mean, you know, there's all the repercussions that come along with that. But whoever controls the information, you know, has control over a large part of the public mindset and discourse around a particular topic. And, you know, the chatbots right now do only regurgitate the information, like you're saying, the actual just base information. The danger is definitely going to be, and this is something that I could see happening within the next 3 to 5 years, especially as this as chat becomes more into the business sphere of things.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just like how publications are nowadays, where it's already so just parsed through to make sure that exactly what they want you to read and hear is always the information you're getting.
That's right. That's right. We live in a totally different world, and information is what it's all about a lot of the time. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, I fully applaud the Catholic chat. I think it's a good thing. But what I will say, Reed, is that we should have patented the word Catholic chat for this show. What do you reckon?
Oh, I know. I feel like we are Catholic chat on this show. Hopefully it's slightly less robotic, but, you know, at least we have voice. You just have to read the chat right now.
Well, even if we're not robotic, we don't always get it right. And that's the beauty of being human, you know. I mean, to err is human, and we are definitely human on this show. So now, talking of humans, one of the great endeavors of humanity is architecture. It's a way in which human beings for decades, millennia, have been building things. And we're just about to speak to a professor of architecture at the
I believe
Catholic
we
University.
Have her now, Kevin. So we
okay.
can go ahead and try
Let's
to go to her.
Okay, well, I'll just introduce Tanya to our audience. So, now, I don't need to tell people listening in Alabama and indeed beyond that with hurricane season currently underway, students and faculty from the Catholic University's School of Architecture and Planning are partnering with the Smithsonian National Museum of American History to recreate North America's first large-span, self-supporting geodesic dome, illustrating the significance of dome architecture in an age of extreme weather. By the nature of their geometry, geodesic domes can support more load and have higher wind resistance than any other shelters of comparable size and weight. And my next guest is Professor of Architecture at the Catholic University of America, Tanya Unstadt. Her professional focus as a practitioner and a professor is understanding the expanding role of the designer as a global citizen in an era of massive change. And boy, do we feel that every day on this show. Tanya, welcome to the Turley Frequency.
Hi, thank you. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me.
So talk to me about the geodesic dome. For anybody listening, they may be thinking, what is that? It sounds like a medical complaint. So maybe tell them from an architectural perspective what it is and a little bit about its history, which is equally interesting.
Sure. So the basic idea of the geodesic dome is really that it's a half sphere that's made out of a series of straight pieces, what we call struts, and those are made up of triangles, and those triangles are organized in a way that create a sphere. You may have seen this like Epcot Center, or that's a massive size geodesic dome what we have built from the parts from the Smithsonian is the first of these long span domes. So,
Tanya, I'm old enough to remember pictures of the Expo 67. Wasn't that what it was back in Canada, I think it was?
Yeah, so this dome is the sort of precursor of all of these domes. So this is the first one. So this was first built in 1950. So this is really a proving ground for the ideas from Buckminster Fuller. And this was, the first build was led by Jeffrey Lindsay, one of Buckminster Fuller's students. So they were out there testing this in the, freezing cold, thinking about extreme winds and extreme weather even then.
So tell me a little bit about the man who built that original one, because he's quite a character in the architectural lore, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And so while Buckminster Fuller was really testing out a lot of these ideas and thinking about, how to, and he was thinking of lots of things, cars, houses. He was inspired by many things and inspired by technology. This dome was inspired by him, but built by his student. And so his student, one of the lesser known facts of what he did was there were many students. Many of us forget to acknowledge all of our help, all the people that it takes. And Buckminster Fuller was definitely known for this. And so this was actually, made by one of his students, Jeffrey Lindsay. So it's, and he fabricated all these parts and had, I think it was a his friends, a group of guys on a ski team, I believe, in Canada working on this.
And just talk to us a little bit about how sort of revolutionary this was in the post-war era.
Sure. So, using these kind of materials like aluminum that, really thinking about, most buildings that you're putting together, they're really heavy. They take a lot of power. They take a lot of energy. They are, essentially and completely immovable. Something like this is, imagining, this is what was really exciting or is really exciting for students, is to really get yourself into the mindset, like your question, of the time, and to be able to make something out of very little material that has the ability to have quite a big span. So you can imagine like the weight of this. I'm actually sitting here looking at our newly fabricated parts, and there's just like a pile that basically fits in the back of a truck, and you can imagine a 2,000 square foot house that is built out of, more or less parts that fit in a van. And that's a pretty revolutionary idea. And that object then, or that building, would be able to withstand hurricane winds is also, it's actually still pretty exciting to think about, if you ask
me.
It is.
I mean, it really is. I have to say, Tanya, in anticipation of our interview today, I have a friend who teaches architecture here in London at the AA, and I just happened to mention geodesic domes to him, and his eyes lit up, and he then gave me a sort of masterclass in their wonderful name. And I suddenly realized, I'm not an architectural scholar by any means, but I suddenly realized that this is more than just creating a building or something. There's a sort of mythic element almost to this, or sort of questing for something beyond, or am I reading too much into it?
No, I think, that's what's so exciting about this, is that people are really, architects, of course, are, architecture students spend tons of time, trying to understand geometry, learning geometry. And the thing about a geodesic dome is that it's just a really clever way of manipulating geometry.
That's it.
And so you've got, this dome that we built is made of 16 different sizes, and it's born out of a dodecahedron, so a 12-sided kind of shape, versus other types of spheres or other types of geodesics that can be, based off of different numbers of sides. But the point is that, so then you can kind of really nerd out on the number of the way the geometry changes, the way you increase what we call frequency, which is basically the number of facets or the number of ways these triangles are broken up. And so it's a really exciting sort of mathematical / form-making geometry exercise. And so I think you get lots of students that get, and it's actually really accessible. It appears somewhat complicated, but it's a very highly accessible kind of geometry to figure out because it's based on, you know, nature, a straight line through a sphere that's broken into triangles. I'm sure you're...
I kind of picked up on that at the weekend, but I was kind of interested in his in how he came alive with this, and he started showing me photographs. I mean, immediately we were into. I mean, as I say, I was a little bit beyond where I was at, but from a lay perspective, Tanya, there's almost something about sort of an architect sort of dealing with transcendentals in a way. Do you know what I mean? Something beyond, something beyond the 3D imaging. It's something which is kind of beautiful, almost cosmic in its creation. Or am I, again, getting far too
This is exactly what was so exciting about Buckminster Fuller is that, you know, you listen to these lectures and, you know, he's reminding us of our place, you know, in the galaxy. He's reminding us of our size and scale, but also, you know, reminding us of our kind of impact, our potential to create impact on the climate or on the planet, but also reminding us, like, you know, you're basically going to exist in this tiny little amount of space on the planet, but it's so vast. And there's, you know, and the way we connect to, you know, the planets outside and the, you know, galaxies. I think that gets really exciting, and architects definitely love to think about, you know, our potential impact. And so I think, and you know, when you're spending your days drawing details of, you know, windows or doors, it can be really exciting to think about how we can impact the Earth. So.
You know, I've known quite a few architects in my time, Tanya, and you must know this, and none of them, they're all basically artists. I don't know if you agree with that statement. And I take my hat off to them because it's an artist combined with a mathematician, combined with a physicist, sometimes combined with a chemist. They're often almost similar to a film producer as well, sometimes when they're working on large projects. I mean, it really is a very unique calling.
It is. And it's funny because I was you know, speaking to a group of 70 high school students yesterday, talking about all the sort of the way we learn architecture, the way we try to understand the built environment can really lead to many other fields. So it's actually a pretty vast profession, but at the same time, I think you're right that many people that are drawn to it are balancing the sort of technology, math, science, and art at the same time. And you know, whatever our wherever our talents lie or whatever our proclivities, we kind of end up doing one of those things or leaning more in one direction or the other. And in this case, you know, something like this original architect, he was, you know, highly mathematical and highly, you know, just really innovative. And then in this rebuild with students and other professors and other fabricators and engineers, it's been a really exciting thing to do where you kind of reveal history, but also try to understand potentials in the future. So you get a little bit of this big thinking as well as really trying to get your hands onto a material, which is something students in, I think, most fields right now don't have time to do. They spend a lot of time on the computer and very little time. I think you were just talking about AI, you know, spend all this time on the computer and very little time getting your hands onto a project or on an object and really learn from, you know, from your hands and eyes. And that's, I think, makes a big impact.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember architects, friends from 20, 30 years ago, and they had sketch pads. Right, which now seem like sort of very 19th century compared to the 3D graphic imaging that can be done. it's a totally different world. But maybe we're losing something because there's something very tactile about architecture as well. The architects have known they like to feel the materials. They're men and women who are practical as much as they're artistic.
Yeah, 100%. I think the sketchbook is still there. We still work in school to remind them that, you know, your best friend is the sketchbook. So trying to connect something that you see with your hand and your eye and trying to help you understand the way we occupy a space and how we move through it and taking notes. I think, we still, you'll still see architects with their sketchbooks, but more and more the way we produce it seems to be through a computer. So
now there's a very practical side to this as well, Tonya, because Alabama has a lot of hurricanes. And part of what you're doing is modeling something which can withstand extreme weather, which is something which is probably going to be the norm as we move forward. Talk to me a little bit about how architecture can help to offset some of these hurricanes and other extreme weather conditions.
Yeah, so I think that some of the interesting things about this is not only the geometry and how the geometry is, in and of itself is a very strong shape, right? A sphere is a shape that can really handle a lot of pressure, and it will move wind or it will move high speed. It can withstand a lot of forces. Also, the pieces that are making up that shape are also of triangles or interconnected sets of triangles that are also very strong in and of themselves. So you have a very strong sort of lattice shape for this, but then you also can have kind of high profile or high performance surfaces that are able to also continue, couldn't harvest energy. They can withstand, other forces, wind and water, as well as helping move air on the inside. So the other thing that's kind of, one of the biggest things in architecture is, and not talked about as much, but, we use a lot of material, and a lot of our material is not sustainable. We take things,
That's true.
Something like this, the construction waste industry has real numbers, and there are numbers that are not insignificant. So thinking about, this dome is aluminum, and the aluminum that we used to replace it was actually all 75% recycled aluminum. So it was end of life aluminum that was given to us from our partner.
Yeah, no, it sounds absolutely fascinating. And may I ask, is the disc now, or the dome, is it completed? Have you reassembled it?
Yeah, it's complete. It's stunning, if I say so myself. So there's two large doors, so it sits inside the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History, and it has this beautiful entry off the mall. It's called Flag Hall, so you walk by a large aluminum structure, you come in the front door, and there's this a large sculpture of an American flag. Man, it looks like it's waving out of aluminum, and then you see the geodesic dome in the it completely fills the hall, and you can walk through it from one side to the other, so you can enter the dome, look up, kind of see through the skylight, and then walk through. So it looks fabulous. I'll have them send some pictures.
I was going to say, we're going to have be able to look at some of those pictures. It sounds absolutely fascinating. It's been absolutely interesting to say so, talking to you as well, Tonya, about a subject which I find fascinating, partly because I know nothing about it. I'm fascinated by it. I'm delighted in those practitioners, but it's not something I could ever do in a million years. Tell people where they can find out more about you and your work at the university, and also about this wonderful dome that they can look at.
Absolutely. So you can look at Catholic University of America, the School of Architecture and Planning. You'll find me there, and you'll find information about the dome. You can also look at the Smithsonian's National Museum of American History, and you'll see it on there. They have a website for Weather Break, it's called.
That's great. Well, listen, I hope this is the first of many visits to this show, because the subject of architecture,
as you can tell,
is something I love talking about, know nothing about. So I'm so glad to have met you, Tonya. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and talking to us here on Archangel Radio. Okay.
Have a good day, everyone. Thank
you very much. That was Tonya Unstad from the Catholic University of America. And you can check out this wonderful dome, the geodesic dome that has been recreated up in Washington, D.C. Okay, well, that's the end of today's show, the end of Tuesday's show.
It's been pretty interesting, Kevin.
Never been a dull moment, has
you,
it?
You almost ran off without me at the end there.
No, I was looking behind. I knew you were coming. I was just giving you a bit of covering fire.
Oh, well, I'm bringing up the caboose. But what's coming up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we have author and broadcaster Philip Campbell coming on the show, but also we have our good friend Bill Murphy, our resident ufologist, to bring us right up to date on all the UAP UFO happenings across the world.
Excellent. Sounds exciting.
It ain't going to be dull. Now listen, I hope you enjoyed the show today. We've enjoyed having you. Let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. So until then, may God bless you and keep you. And may St. Joseph watch over you and yours.